Well, thank goodness, for the internet seemed to be the only thing letting me know you two were still alive.
Telephone is also amazing. You just push the buttons and say, hi, it's me, your deadbeat sister.
Well, it's a treat seeing you two going at it again. Kids, come in and say hi to your Aunt Dee Dee.
Better hurry before she disappears for another decade.
Oh, look at you guys, you've grown.
Why did I think that you were dead?
You're so sweet. Now, how long has it been since we've seen each other?
I think you crashed one of my pool parties with some guy you were calling Uncle Julio.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. All right, you guys treat yourself, okay? Buy yourself something nice.
$100?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
My goodness.
Missed you.
Wow.
I missed you so much. I missed you so much.
Oh. Gosh, look at them. They are sweet kids.
Schitt's Creek fans, welcome to another episode of Shits and Giggles. We're a Schitt's Creek podcast, and every other week we discuss an episode of the show running through in chronological order. My name is Paul McCambridge. I'm one of your two hosts, and with me, as always, is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how excited are you to be stuck in our house doing nothing but recording Schitt's Creek podcasts?
Oh, there's nothing better than that. What else could we possibly do with our time when we're quarantined to our homes?
Nothing.
Hopefully by the time people hear this, we're back out and about in the world, but I'm kind of concerned that's not going to be the case.
People are going to hear this 2 weeks from us recording it, so yeah. I don't know that that's going to be the case.
Maybe more people will hear this because they'll really then in 2 weeks stuck in their homes.
That's a good point.
More than they might be right now. If some people maybe are still out and about at work, I don't know.
If you are stuck inside and you know someone else who's stuck inside who watches Schitt's Creek, maybe tell them about our show so they have, you know, they can eat up 40 minutes every 2 weeks of the, you know, the amount of time that they have to be stuck inside.
Right. Or they could just binge listen.
Yes.
So it would be more than 40 minutes, which is a win-win either way.
It would. Yes. Yeah. If you take 40 times the 10 episodes we've done, that's 400 minutes, however many hours that is. I can't do that math.
I don't know, but we've been homeschooling our children, so we should be really good at math by now. But anyway.
Not by choice, by quarantine. We don't homeschool our children unless the government tells us to. All right. So anyway, that's our longest intro yet, I think.
I know. Yeah. This is our lives right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have stolen some time away from our children.
Which isn't
and
easy
teaching
to do.
Them math and making them read and forcing them to be in bad moods.
Yep.
To talk about episode 11 from season 1, Little Sister.
That's right.
Yes.
The original air date was April 22nd of 2015. It's directed by Paul Fox. This is his fifth episode so far that he's directed. And written by Michael Short, who previously wrote Don't Worry, It's His Sister. So two sister episodes written
that?
By the same guy.
Yes.
Really cornered the market on, I don't know, episodes
family
with the sister.
Family relationships?
Yeah, very specific sister relationships.
Sibling rivalry?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sure, yes. Yeah, let's assume Don't Worry, It's His Sister is about sibling rivalry. This is an episode where I think it's interesting because I think this is the first episode where an outsider really dominates the episode. Or the episode is around someone from outside of this town that comes in. It's not the last one. It's not even the last one of this season.
Right. Yeah. There are others.
But this is the first time this has happened, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, the closest we got is Allie Vu, where a product comes in.
But that was
from
really
outside
a person.
And dominates.
A person via DVD.
Video, VHS? No,
I don't know.
Probably DVD. The episode opens with something in Moira's bed.
Yes, crawling up her leg.
And did you notice her PJs? She's like wearing a vest. It's like a vest.
This is not. Pajama. She is always dressed in some fancy jammies. Okay. Always.
I guess I really I don't know why I noticed this so much.
You know, yeah. No, that's normally her jammies. If we see her in jammies, which isn't a ton, but back when we were giving our best to Bob Cratchit, she was in jammies then. And yeah, she usually wears her little silk jammies and a vest.
Yeah.
And some other jewelry that she wears as well. So yeah, no, she's always decked out in her finest, even to go to bed.
She thinks there's bed bugs?
Or lice or scabies.
Lice, scabies, yeah. She can't afford to burn all of her clothes, which is great.
Yeah.
It's not. I mean, I don't know. Are there bed bugs? They pull up the corner of the, the sheets as though it's supposed to be some reveal, but we don't see anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because later they talk about fumigation, so then I was wondering, maybe there are bugs, but I think Moira's just a little bit.
Just in her head.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't really ever get a definitive on that, I don't think.
And that's the cold open to the show. But Dee Dee shows up.
Right. Yeah, because there is a knock on the door in the midst of Moira's hysterics. Yes.
Very early in the morning, I guess, Dee Dee's making her appearance.
Because I kind of feel like they're probably sleeping kind of people.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know.
It's not as though the kids appeared to be getting out of bed. I think they're in their jammies, too, but they're up.
Yeah, I don't remember what they're wearing.
I don't know
that they're in jammies.
A lot of thought to this.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But
but anyway, it's Dee Dee. It's Moira's little sister.
Yes. Yeah, she knocks on the door. I love that Johnny opens it and, she's walking in the midst of Moira yelling about lice. And she was kind of like, I don't know if I should come in if you had lice.
Right.
I hate to contract. So do you want to tell us a little bit about her?
Yes, and I found this very interesting. Mm-hmm. This is just personally interesting. So
it won't be interesting to anyone
no,
else?
No, one else will care.
Okay.
As though anyone cares what we're doing.
True.
We talk about.
Yeah.
So Dee Dee is played by Jennifer Irwin. Right now, she's somewhat of a regular on the sitcom The Goldbergs. She was a regular in the last season of iZombie. And on the HBO TV show Eastbound and Down. I know her from being in one of my favorite movies ever. When I was a kid, I watched a movie called The Gate. Uh-huh. It was a horror movie with a little tiny baby Stephen Dorff. He's 11, 12 years old in it.
Uh-huh.
And she plays a friend of his sister's in the movie.
Okay.
And I saw this movie so many times growing up. I could probably recite the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
I love it. And it was just, I don't know, it was so nice to see what she's doing now.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. I don't know her from that.
Well,
I thought it's interesting that she was in The Goldbergs. Not that I've watched that.
Uh-huh.
But
she looks like she should be in The Goldbergs.
No. I just thought, okay, that's interesting that
it's something
she's
we've heard of.
In something and a regular, you said, right?
Yeah,
so,
somewhat of a regular. I mean, multiple episodes. And she's been acting since the mid-80s, too. Okay. So it's...
She seems familiar to me.
Yeah.
She reminds me of somebody, but I can't really put my finger on who. But everything that you've mentioned that's kind of bigger things that she's in, I'm not familiar with her on those shows.
But she's
I don't
done,
watch those shows.
Yeah, I'm sure she's been in stuff that you've seen, though. Because her credits, there were a lot of credits, but most things are one-off guest appearances.
Yeah, I think it's her voice. She has, I don't even know how to explain her voice. Her voice is kind of distinctive,
and
I think.
And it's weird. I wasn't sure if it was a voice she was putting on for this, because it doesn't seem real.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like how real people talk, but she's Moira's sister, and look at
it
how
would
Moira
make sense
talks.
That she would have
but
a
they don't
odd.
Seem similar. Like, they
no.
don't at all seem
no.
similar.
Yeah. So I don't know. She just seems familiar to me, but I really am not sure from where.
So Johnny brings the kids in, calls them in because their aunt is there.
Yes.
I think it's... Who says, why did
Alexis.
I think you were dead?
It's okay. Alexis. Right. Why did I think you were dead? Yes.
They seem, not put off by her being there, but certainly not that excited until she gives them $100 each.
Yes. And then Alexis says, oh, I miss you so much. And they're super excited at that fact that she's, sharing money with them and everything.
So now we go into the office and we meet someone named Grant.
I am
very confused by Grant's presence in this?
It's interesting
doing.
That he's a handyman who is coming in and fixing things around the motel, whereas earlier in the season when they needed things fixed, it was call the drunken plumber that might be passed out. So, yeah, so Grant is...
Or Roland has to put doors on there, you know?
Yeah.
Or Roland took the doors off.
Right.
But it is weird. And it's also weird, and not to spoil where this is going, as people listening know, we're going to spoil the whole episode, so let's wait to get there. But it's interesting how the whole Grant thing wraps up, because I'm assuming he lives in that town.
Yeah, I would think so.
Right?
Or maybe he's from Elmdale, which is
okay.
Just a hop, skip, and jump away.
I guess because of the way he and Stevie are flirting, I got the vibe that they already knew each other before.
I don't think
this.
He just showed up that day.
All right.
Which does make me think, like, clearly they've had interaction in the past, I guess.
Which makes it even weirder how this all works out in the end.
Yes. Yeah.
But yes, but he's in the office flirting with Stevie.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, David comes in.
Yes. And Stevie introduces him.
Uh-huh.
And they talk about, you know, how great his body is for being a handyman, basically. That was what their discussion was. And one of my favorite lines from this episode, and David's whole delivery of it is great, when he says, well, isn't Grant just a big fat liar or something like that, that he got this body by being a handyman.
Uh-huh. Turning a screwdriver, I guess.
Yes. I loved just the way David said that. The tone in his voice and everything about that line. I loved, you know, and of course, David is just super jealous and bothered by Grant.
Right.
Big time.
Yeah. So I guess we're to take it that, you know, after last episode, they are still hooking up, but, you know, they refer to it as friends with benefits.
Yes.
And they're still doing that.
Yeah.
And after Grant leaves, they decide to sort of make some rules.
Yeah. Because Grant leaves and then David again kind of says to her, like, well, do you, do him, do both. Like,
Right.
And then that's when they kind of decide, like, we need some boundaries about our friends with benefits situation that we have going on here.
Because it's one of those things where, you know, you see that, I guess, Stevie has some options out there. David doesn't seem to at this point.
No.
And so that's why at this point now, David is the one who appears to be jealous.
Mm-hmm.
So Grant is played by Benjamin Ayers, nearly 100 TV and movie credits.
Okay. Canadian TV or?
Well, yes. And yes and no. He gets out of Canada. He regularly was in Smallville, Vampire Diaries.
Oh, okay.
Rookie Blue, Suits. Like, basically shows if they need a hunky dude, I guess. He's kind of a regular on shows like that.
All right.
And he's currently on a show called Detention Adventure.
Oh.
I don't know. I looked into it. It's about kids that have detention and go on adventures. I don't know if he plays
like a hunky
teacher. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, are we going to the cafe now?
I guess. Are you ready to go to the cafe?
I'm always ready to go.
Okay, let's go to the cafe. We can't go to cafes right now. We could drive up or get takeout. So let's live vicariously through Alexis and Ted, who are at the cafe. I love how this little scene of them at the cafe opens because they are trying to get Twyla's attention, whose back is to them. She has like her little headphones on. And finally, Alexis just throws a roll at her and hits her, which then, of course, causes her to turn around. She shares that that's what Moira did earlier in the day to get her attention. But she explains that she is working on a song.
Writing a song.
Yes.
For Mutt.
Yes. Because when in doubt, say it with a song. That's what her dad, who was a roadie for Fleetwood Mac, told her that he had learned.
Right before they hit him
with
a
restraining order.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. So we haven't seen Twyla sing yet, right?
No, I don't think so.
So we're then just to understand that she can sing.
She's
maybe play the guitar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fantastic.
She's into music.
Alexis is kind of telling her not to do it.
Yeah. Well, she's really questioning a lot.
Yeah.
Like, she's very much digging into this, of course, in light of her interest in Mutt and everything. She is.
Because even Ted, I guess, has learned his lesson from the dinner party and is even like, no, maybe we just.
Is this like a Dateline investigative report? Yeah. He's kind of feeling a little awkward. But yeah, Alexis is prying very much to try to get some background into this. And finally, she kind of recommends that she should not write a song. It's not a good idea.
Mm-mm. No, because once a super angry Marine ripped a guitar out of her hand when she did the same thing.
Yeah.
And he smashed it to the ground. Now we go to...
Another very timely thing that goes along with our current situation, because they're at the general store.
At the general store, yeah.
Yes, which is where they shopped for wine
mm-hmm.
In the previous episode. And David is almost ready to open a thing of toilet paper and steal toilet paper?
I don't know.
I'm not sure either.
Can you pay by the roll? I don't think so.
I don't know. I mean, they sell toilet paper by the roll, but clearly he was breaking into a package of toilet paper.
Right, yeah. You're not allowed to open it up to feel the toilet paper, right?
Like,
you can't do that.
I don't think so. So I'm not really sure what his whole motive was there.
You're thinking that he's going to steal the toilet paper?
I was not sure. Maybe he's just feeling it. But shouldn't they be able to get toilet paper at the motel. I'm sure the motel toilet paper is not great.
Right.
So he was probably trying to go out and purchase something a little bit nice. That would be my guess.
Well, he does have $100 now. So
spend it on toilet paper.
$100 worth of toilet paper.
By all means.
You know, people out there right now are doing that.
Oh,
or over the past few days.
Totally. It's kind of ironic that that's what he was shopping for.
Right.
But he kind of quickly gets interrupted in his theft or...
Sampling,
maybe?
Sure.
Yeah, of toilet paper by Jocelyn.
Yes.
Who kind of shows up and has this little proposition for him. Something that she is really hoping that he can help her out with because he really strikes her as someone that would have had a hard time in high school, as she puts it.
Yes.
Jocelyn has a new student who has come into school, into her classroom, who seems to be kind of struggling with his sexuality and the idea of fitting into school in this new Schitt's Creek town that he's recently moved into.
And David never even comes close to saying yes.
No,
but Jocelyn,
he's very
just
opposed.
I mean, not even like, well, maybe. He doesn't even say maybe. It's it's a flat out no. I don't think this would be a good idea, but Jocelyn takes that as a yes.
Yeah, no. She doesn't really give him an option to,
to say no
or listen. He basically says, me life coaching another human should be really scary, should scare you. She just kind of ignores all of that and says, this will be great and I'm sure you'll be so helpful.
Uh-huh.
And that's it. Like, he's committed.
Yeah.
She doesn't take no for an answer and just kind of leaves.
And again, is all this happening in one day? Shouldn't she be at school now? Is
it
that early in the morning? Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
You know what? Community service hasn't started yet. They're eating breakfast at the cafe.
True. Yeah,
so
I guess
maybe,
they were there for breakfast. So maybe she was on her way, stopping to get
right
some things.
By,
or saw him in there.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Because then, yes, we do switch to community service.
Community
Alexis
service.
And Mutt. Today they are emptying the trash cans around the town.
Oh, okay. I didn't write down what they were doing.
Yes, they were putting trash bags into the can.
Oh.
The cans, taking
now
out the
Now that seems to
cans.
Be real community service.
Yeah, I guess so. More than washing trucks, I would think. Yeah, I would think so.
I mean, it does seem like it's somebody's job to do that. But community service, I think this makes the most sense out of almost anything they've done so far.
Yeah, so she...
Except picking up trash.
Yeah, that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
So she and Mutt are having a conversation kind of about relationships. And she sort of shares...
As they have been.
Right.
Recently.
Right, yeah. She kind of shares with him that she is in the longest relationship that she's ever had.
Voluntarily.
Yes, yeah. With the exception of the three-month relationship with a Saudi prince.
Yes.
But two of those months, she said, she was spending them trying to get... Or escape from his palace to get to the embassy.
Exactly.
Again, like another one of her great little stories.
Oh, yeah.
Funny little Alexis adventures.
Yeah. And Mutt's very open about how, you know, things with he and Twyla just aren't really working out.
Right. He thinks their relationship has run its course.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Which I wonder how long their relationship was to begin with.
Was it going on when they showed up? Right? Was it going on at the start of this show?
I mean, pretty much the first time she goes, like, she sees Mutt at the party.
Right.
Twyla was also at that party, though, because Twyla came and greeted David really drunk at the tailgate party.
Okay, so they were probably seeing each
other
then.
So they were both there.
All right, so this might be a long relationship.
Okay. You know, I feel like maybe, and who knows how long it could have been before that. So I'm just curious, like, how long, you know, they may have been together and everything. So, I mean, I think Alexis is sort of thinking,
sure,
okay, this is really my opportunity here. I think she's really kind of done a lot to break up this relationship.
I don't know that she's actively done anything to break up the relationship.
But she also went off and, like, just in the beginning of the episode, told Twyla, like, I would not write a song. I would not try to do something to get him back. Like, I feel
Oh, really? You saw that as... Okay.
Yeah.
I saw that as her actually trying to help based on her past experience of a Marine breaking a guitar and her thinking maybe the song thing is not a great idea.
I think she, no, I think, okay. I think at this point in this series, I think Alexis oftentimes has an ulterior motive to what she's doing. And I think she's thinking, okay, if they break up, that leaves an open for me.
Okay.
So I don't know. I kind of think she is really trying to steer her away from doing anything to try to save this relationship.
All right. Got it.
I don't know. That's just my two cents.
You might be right.
I could be right, but so could you. We don't know.
Let us know, listeners. Let us know what side you fall on.
I think at this point.
Is Alexis horrible at this point?
I think she's, I don't think she's horrible, but I think she's selfish.
Yeah.
And she is out for things for herself.
Okay.
And this is an opportunity for her to seem like, oh, I'm doing this to be really helpful, but really I have an ulterior motive.
So we do find out that Moira loaned her sister $50,000 at some point.
For a Buffalonian townhouse.
Right, yes.
What now, is that? What does that mean?
I don't know, because I started thinking, is it a townhouse in Buffalo? But that doesn't make sense.
I don't think so.
I don't think she's living in Buffalo, New York.
No.
So it must be just a
really
style
fancy,
of home,
townhouse?
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We probably should have looked it up, but we didn't. But
no,
yeah.
We didn't.
So they are back at the cafe kind of having a discussion about this. Moira loaned the money.
Well,
Dee Dee kind of...
I mean, she says she loaned her the money. You know, later we find out Johnny says they gave her the money. They didn't loan it.
Yeah. Well, Moira is kind of saying, we loaned it to you at this point.
Right.
And Dee Dee's kind of saying she was offended she didn't get more based on their financial situation at the time. But she is decided that she is coming back and she is going to start paying them back. Maybe
right, exactly.
Not all of it, but give them a little start. Mm-hmm. So she hands a check over to Moira.
Right.
Who promptly rips it up and sticks the little pieces into her coffee cup and smushes them down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Moira has absolutely no interest in getting any money back from Dee Dee, which is surprising based on their situation.
Right. It's surprising, but there must be some crazy underlying sister issues that are not explored in this episode at all.
I mean,
but I think that's what we're meant to believe is these two... have serious problems with each other.
Yeah, lots of tension.
Yeah.
And,
I do think, though, and I will say, not to defend Dee Dee, I'm not going to, but as far as we know at this point, she's the only person to reach out to them. Now, this is way after the fact. You would figure a sibling should have, you know, reached out well before this.
Right, yeah. But she seems just as shallow as Moira
very
is.
Very much,
you know?
Yes.
So,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, like, so that thought probably wouldn't occur to her. And it's even weird in a way that she's showing up now because they made a big deal in the beginning. Like, we didn't even know if you were still alive.
Yeah.
I guess you are. I haven't seen you in forever. Like, obviously the kids hadn't seen her, and, you know.
Here we cut immediately back to the motel. And this is where Johnny is visibly angry. I don't think we've ever really seen him that angry, except maybe at Roland, perhaps, before this. Mm-hmm. And he does say that they gave her the 50 grand. And I like how he says that Moira spent more on wigs
that year. Yes. But Moira is very adamant.
Yes.
She does not want Dee Dee's money. Johnny is mad that she didn't take the check. Like, this could be a way out for them, or at least a way for them to start to get back on their feet. And he kind of really scolds her about, like, you're letting your pride get in your way, and we need to not do that. We need to take this money and we need to, you know, hopefully get a start to getting out of their current situation.
So do they talk about, does he say anything about having lunch later with her or dinner, anything like that? Or like, how does that come about? Are we told? Because it seems to be later on when they are all sitting there, it seems to be like Johnny has called this to be like, listen, you two need to resolve your issues.
Right.
But again, he's doing it to get the money, of course.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if I just missed something that he had said at this point or no.
I'm not sure
no,
if
that's
it was
fine.
Mentioned there or not. I didn't make any notes about that.
All right.
So I don't know. But yeah, not certain about that.
So we again get back to the Grant and Stevie and David thing.
Mm-hmm.
David seems definitely jealous.
Oh, yeah.
But he does mention that he's mentoring a teen in crisis later.
Yeah. Well, Grant and Stevie are going out to dinner.
Right,
so then this is when he also says, like, he seems like a really respectable guy. And he talks about, refers to the fact that he must have a little candy bowl of condoms next to his bed. Because then Stevie's like, oh, I wonder what color I'll get, you know. And they kind of really are sort of just egging each other on in this whole situation. But yes, as you mentioned.
Is this where he says it's not every day you get to date a guy who owns a windowless van?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. Okay. I didn't write that down. All right. There was a lot of good lines. It was hard to jot down all the little notes there. But yes, David does mention, well, you know, while you're going out with this guy, right, I'm going to be mentoring a teen in crisis. To which Stevie, of course, is like laughing. And
sure.
Can't imagine that. And they kind of she kind of says, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, are you looking forward to that? Or how much are you looking forward to that? And he said it's like a solid 3.5.
Yeah.
But then, of course, they end with warmest regards from David and best wishes from Stevie.
So now we meet this kid named Connor.
Oh, yes. Can you tell us about Connor?
He's kind of terrible. Oh, yeah.
Let's learn about him first, and then we can talk about how terrible he is.
Okay.
I don't know
if he's terrible. Yeah. But played by the actor Matthew Tissi, T-I-S-S-I. No credits since 2016, when he was appeared to be the main character in a show called Raising Expectations.
Mm-hmm.
He only has credits from 2010 to 2016 and mostly guest spots. So I don't know what he's up to since Schitt's Creek. Hopefully he's doing fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's like a solar system model there and other things that David knocks it down. That it's, yeah, and he knocked the whole thing down, of course, and wrecked it. But I thought it was interesting that they were meeting in a science classroom because Jocelyn...
We've seen Jocelyn's classroom
already.
She
seems like an English teacher or something like that. So I thought that was kind of funny that they met in a science room, but whatever.
It is it is weird that it's not in Jocelyn's classroom. I don't know. It's just, I don't know, back to the idea that she teaches kids of apparently all ages anyway.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But anyway, so David is there. Connor shows up.
Right.
David kind of tries to have this chat and talk with him a little bit about fitting in. And clearly, Connor is basically a young David.
Oh, my God, yes.
Totally, completely. Yeah. Like,
he's
just
doing
the way...
David-esque hand gestures.
Oh, yeah.
And I like it when he says, look at your pants.
Right. Yes, he makes fun of his pants.
Great.
You know, and David's really trying, like, to his credit. I feel like he is really kind of trying to talk to him about, you know, like... Mrs. Schitt asked me to have a conversation with you about trying to fit in. Yeah. And he basically says, like, I'm a 16-year-old gay kid in this horrible town. I don't want to fit in. Yeah. I don't have any
And I
desire.
Think it's interesting because, like you said, he's sort of like a David, like a younger David. And he basically says to David, this isn't my issue. I don't have any issues.
Right.
The issue's not with me. It's with this town.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of the, you know, I think that's how David feels.
Oh, definitely.
You know? He feels completely out of place and he would not think that the issue's him.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is everything around him.
Right. So I think that was designed to be, you know, to really kind of have that connection between the two of them. Because,
of course.
Because he's basically David.
So now we go to the cafe. Because now we're cutting back and forth between the cafe and this Connor discussion for a little bit.
Yeah.
So Johnny appears to be trying to get the two sisters to make up, as I said before.
Yeah, he's trying to keep it very light, very positive. He's talking about pork.
Yep.
How great the pork
is.
How you can get chops or you can get loin. I don't even know all the different kinds he talks about. But yeah, he's really trying to like keep it very positive and happy and light. And Moira's not having any of it. She's just being stubborn.
Yeah, for a little bit, because they do kind of make up, but it's just snide comments back and forth.
Right.
Moira finally does ask for help.
Yes, like, based on Johnny kind of forcing and
saying,
we're family, this is a time of crisis, when times of crisis happen, you need family to help you. And it's kind of like, right, Moira, to sort of get her to
she begrudgingly asks, but I guess in the most sincere way she's capable of at this point.
Right, like, we appreciate your offer.
Right.
We are in need of help.
Exactly. And so she writes them a check.
Another check.
She writes them a check.
Asks how much should make it out for, which is kind of a
weird
question. If you're there to give them money, why would you ask how much you should make a check out for?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, clearly.
And it's so funny to watch Johnny deal with this because he's like, well, okay, we did give you $50,000, but that's a lot.
We can't ask you for that. Whatever you think is fair.
Unless you want to.
Whatever you think is equivalent. It's unnecessary, but we're so thankful.
Yep. So now we go back, and it appears that Connor is now helping David through his Stevie crisis.
Yes. I'm counseling David, and he said, so basically your girlfriend is on a date with someone else, and friends with benefits never work.
Haven't you ever seen TV shows and movies?
Yeah.
Yeah. I do like how David's like, I'm a little older than you. You'll learn that TV shows and movies do not have it right. They don't know everything.
Yeah. And is it David that says to him, like, I think you're a little bitchy?
Yeah.
I think, right?
Yeah.
But then basically Connor kind of ends with, you know, I'm going to a party or having a party. Can you buy me some beer?
Yeah.
And then David's like, no, can you buy me some beer?
Which is a weird, like, that doesn't make any
sense. Totally weird comeback.
It's not a good comeback. And in a show that is just full of such great comebacks, I was kind of, it's odd that I'm disappointed when I watch this with what people say sometimes. Mm-hmm. I just found that really, really strange.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe at that point, David's just so thrown by everything that's going on, he can't have a comeback.
Right, I guess so, yeah.
So now we see, and I noticed on one of the Schitt's Creek Facebook forums or pages or whatever, somebody posted a picture of Alexis in this jogging top that just covers
top.
Her arms
yes.
and just wanted to know where to get that. And I don't know. I always thought it was weird looking. Like, what's the purpose? Is the purpose just to cover your arms?
Oh, I don't know. I
but
just
not
think it's
your
fun
torso? Because it's got like the tiniest zipper.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's super cute. But
it certainly is.
And
unique.
It stands out. Like, I remember that little, you know, that outfit.
Oh, it's
that
unique
and
original.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love it.
Okay.
But yeah, so she is Alexis and Twyla. She's back at the cafe again. Seems like Twyla has finished her song.
Oh, she's finished it.
She's done. Alexis does not want to hear it because she hates music, which is great because she's wearing headphones because clearly she jogs and listens to music when she goes for a run.
Yeah, because Twyla does say, do you want to hear the song? Yeah. And she goes, I would, but I hate music. Yeah.
Which,
it is
as you're wearing
funny.
Your headphones, is super funny. And again, she says it's just really not a good idea. She tells her that she should talk to Mutt before just going and breaking into song.
And then Twyla can put two and two together.
I know. Yeah. And it's really sad to kind of like look at the look on her face as she's kind of realizing like this is the end of this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And she really just looks sad and upset as
and
she kind of turns
But
away.
She does. She is grateful to Alexis for sort of telling her too,
because
you know she even says thank you.
Yeah, but again,
which is tough. Yes,
she
yes.
thinks
which
it's
from,
sincere. I don't really think it is, but
no, I get it.
You know.
So now we're kind of we get to basically the ending of this episode. There's we're still in the cafe, but a lot of time has passed.
Yes.
And
now we see David.
David and Twyla are having martinis.
Yeah,
I guess
like they're just hanging out having drinks.
Yep. Sure. Because Stevie's walked in and she's, you know, she was wondering, oh, what's happening here? You guys are just drinking and, you know, why are you getting together?
Oh, but she talks to David. I think even before Stevie arrives, she says that Mutt was really just a placeholder in her life.
Yes.
Because she had like a psychic
Was it her tea leaves?
I forget
something
what she
like
said.
That.
I
yes.
don't remember. But anyway, it was predicted that, you know, the guy that she's going to date. And did she say marry?
I think end up with or marry, something
like
that.
Like,
yeah,
like is black, she said. So
right.
there's no way it could be Mutt. So he is really just a placeholder in her life.
Yeah.
So
she's gotten over it.
Yeah, I like how she's
in record
convincing
time.
Herself.
Right.
Convincing herself that he was not, it was not meant to be with them.
Sure.
But yeah, I like how she, you know, it's like, yeah, it's supposed to be somebody totally different.
Yeah.
And then I think after they kind of have that cute little exchange, that's when Stevie walks in. Because
David tells Stevie that a teen told him his life's a mess.
But the reason that Stevie shows up is because Grant has totally like ghosted her. Went to the bathroom and never came back.
Which is crazy. If he's ever going to work in that motel again, if they ever need a light bulb changed or whatever, that seems so strange that he would do that.
Yes.
I think there's a better way to end that date that, you know.
Well, there's a better way. Of course there is. Nobody should end a date by ghosting someone and leaving.
No, I'm saying in the show, in the episode, like a more realistic way.
Gotcha.
Like he just made up some weird excuse or something like that. But just to leave just seems so strange. And also, he seemed 100% into Stevie. What could she have possibly done on this date from the moment
they...
sat down to dinner?
So he got a call from someone else. Maybe. Like, he seems like the type of guy that would be perfectly happy to say, ooh, you know, I have another opportunity out there and I'm going to go take it.
Yes.
So, yes, as you said, Connor sort of convinced David that his life is a mess and that the friends with benefits is a bad idea. And they sort of both agreed on this.
Yeah, he and Stevie agreed that they're just going to be friends. It was easier. Given what happened with this whole Grant thing, I think it makes a lot more sense for them to do that. And they agree.
Yeah. Warmest wishes, kindest regards to each other.
Yes.
And they're kind of ready to move forward with their friendship.
With very, very strong drinks that Twyla makes.
Right. Yeah. I wonder if it's like the harvest smoothie.
Yeah. I didn't know if it was strong or just super gross. I was waiting for them to say, but apparently it's very strong.
Yeah.
So now we go back to the hotel just very quickly at the end of the episode.
Yes.
Because Johnny is now very upset with how little money Dee Dee gave them.
Yes,
and I love how not satisfied Moira is, but she's not surprised by this and doesn't care.
This is what it was going
to
be.
This is it. We'll probably never have to see her again.
Right.
That was it. This day has ended. She's out of town now. And Moira seems okay with that regardless.
Yes. And Johnny's like, we paid for dinner. We lost money on the deal, he said.
Lost money.
She missed a zero or two,
he
said. And then, he just continues to complain about the cheap-ass amount.
Calls her a cheap-ass a couple times.
Yes.
Before credits end up rolling.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's it. That's the end of Little Sister.
Yeah.
Wow. This is so great.
We're at the end of every episode. We rank the episodes.
Right.
At the end of every show, we rank the episodes in order of, you know, greatest to least greatest, let's say. Mm-hmm. So, Carla, is this episode worth 50 grand or the price of dinner at the cafe?
I'm not a huge fan of this episode. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel like and maybe I'm totally wrong, so people can jump in and share things that they love. Because I know some people shared their love of Turkey
some
Shoot, which
love
was
Turkey Shoot.
Not an episode that really spoke to me, but that's totally cool, because to each his own.
Sure.
But this is not an episode that I particularly love, and I kind of get that feeling from others as well. I would probably put this on the bottom of my list.
Okay.
I don't know. It doesn't have like as much spunk and fun as I feel like most of their episodes do. While there's some really good lines in it, like Alexis and the Saudi Prince.
Sure.
And I like the Connor and David thing is kind of funny. Mm-hmm. But Dee Dee just doesn't, you know, that whole interaction between she and Moira and Johnny doesn't speak to me necessarily.
It's one where it's funny because with Turkey Shoot, I knew that I did not like that episode. And I knew I really didn't like this one either. Mm-hmm. But with Turkey Shoot, like, I forgot that that was the Milky Exoskeleton. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the opening
there
to that episode, which is so good.
Yeah.
And with this episode, I kept waiting for something like that to happen. Like, in my mind, I thought the conversation between he and Connor was better than it actually is. Mm-hmm. It's not as funny as I remember it.
Yeah.
This is down. Like, move over Turkey Shoot. Your brief time at the bottom is over. I'm going to put this one below it, bottom of my list as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are our thoughts. If you agree or disagree, if you really like this episode, let us know. Follow us on the Facebook and Twitter. That's kind of all we're on. Early we said Instagram, but we never started that.
Yeah,
so
no.
Don't find us on Instagram. If you find us on Instagram, someone else must have made an account. So if you want to make an account, go right ahead and do it. You can post for us.
Oh, wow. I don't know that we want that. But
no.
Yeah.
Also, I meant to open the episode with a correction. Because if we do find out things that were really wrong, we will correct. And last episode, I personally was super excited that Jocelyn used to be in the military. And I found out that instead of saying, what if I didn't join the military, she said, what if I had joined the military or did join the military.
Right.
So if she did not, so I was wrong on that. And I guess I apologize to every listener that heard it and thought, wow, she was in the military. Yeah. So
you were as wrong as Dee Dee.
I was way wronger than Dee Dee.
Wronger.
Yep, wronger. All right. So next time, so tune in again in 2 weeks
Maybe we'll still be quarantined.
Who knows? We'll still be in our
house. we never know. We'll see what happens by then.
Yes. But maybe we will also be talking about an episode that we both liked a little more than this one. And it'll be episode 12 of season 1, Surprise Party.
Yes.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we will talk to you soon.
Warmest regards.